Almost there. Wow. Ooh. Wow, the top of this mountain is more beautiful than anybody ever said. This is great. Up here, all by myself. No Chuck. Wow, sure is quiet.
Hey, Craig!
Whoa, hey, what are you doing here?
I thought I would surprise you.
Well, how did you get up here?
The Technorama helicopter.
Wait, we got a helicopter?
Come on, I got some hot drinks waiting down in the ski lodge.
How did you pay for that?
The donations have been great.
What donations?
Listener donations.
We need to negotiate my contract again.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Where did I put Craig's contract again?
Over there, in the media corner.
Of all the places.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. This is the show for January 16, 2008. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time again. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and with me is the one and only Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm on strike.
You can't strike.
Oh, I can't strike. Okay.
No, you strike. Well, A, the show falls apart, and B,
the show falls apart. Yeah, I'm the linchpin.
This is really an integrated piece of work, isn't it?
It is. It works together, man. There's two of us.
It's a symbiosis. That's what we call it.
It takes two to tango Technorama.
Yeah, we'll go with that. Coming up in this show, we've got the physics of Super Mario Galaxy. Cooling begins on the Large Hadron Collider, and be a geek. Take the sci-fi audio quiz. See how you do.
Yeah.
On this day in tech history for January 16th, 2008. This is January 16th. It's the 16th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are just 350 days remaining in 2008. It was on this date in 1492 that the first grammar of a modern language, Spanish, is presented to Queen Isabella. It was also on that date in 1605 that the first book of Don Quixote by Miguel de Cervantes is published in Madrid. Ernest Shackleton's expedition finds the magnetic South Pole on this date in 1909.
Main result of the British Antarctic Expedition of 1907 under my command are as follows. We reached a point within 97 geographical miles of the South Pole. The only thing that stopped us from reaching the actual point was the lack of 50 pounds of food.
Then January 16, 1969 marks the date that the Metroliner train enters into service. It was also that same date in 1986 that marks the first meeting of the Internet Engineering Task Force, or IETF. It was January 16, 2003 that the Space Shuttle Columbia takes off for mission STS-107, which will be its final one. Columbia disintegrates 16 days later on re-entry.
My fellow Americans, this day has brought terrible news and great sadness to our country. At 9 o'clock this morning, Mission Control in Houston lost contact with our Space Shuttle Columbia. A short time later, debris was seen falling from the skies above Texas. The Columbia is lost. There are no survivors.
Happy birthday goes out on this date in 1477 to Johannes Schroner, the German astronomer and cartographer. Also born on that same date in 1875, Leonhard Michaelis, the German enzyme kinetic theorist. Frank Zamboni, inventor of the Zamboni, was born on this date in 1901. And finally, American zoologist Diane Fossey was born on this date in 1932. And that's the way it was on this day in tech history for January 16th, 2008.
Captain, I'm picking up a signal on subspace, audio only. It sounds like an advertisement for the early 21st century.
Sulu, where's Uhura?
On vacation.
Who the hell authorized that? Ah, you look terrible in a skirt.
Thank you, sir.
On speakers.
Here at Theology Web, sure, we talk about how Macs rule, Linux owns, and PCs, like air conditioning units, don't work when you open Windows. But don't you ever think there might be something more?
So the important thing to understand about Molinism is maintaining the difference between temporal priority and logical priority.
And you thought you were a real geek. TheologyWeb.com.
TheologyWeb.com.
We debate theology. Seriously.
101.
101.
Welcome back. Hey, don't forget, if you missed last week's show, the great Tech Talk for Families treasure hunt is coming up. You can go to techtalkforfamilies.com/contest. You were probably steered here from there to look for the secret keyword, and the secret keyword is don't.
Still?
Today's podcast is brought to you by the word don't.
Don't, and the number three.
the number pi.
Yeah, 3.14, no.
And some electron that keeps blipping in and out of existence.
There it is. They're good. It's over.
The prize package is a Leapster, two games, and a free Imagination Nation Ranger kit from the Radio Adventures of Dr. Floyd. And Dale tells me they'll be drawing on their anniversary, which is February 5th, 2008. So don't wait. Get over there soon. I know sometimes people listen to podcasts a few days or even a week or two late. You're running out of time. Go now to techtalkforfamilies.com/contest.
Quickly. Be gone with you. Quick.
This is that part of the show where we always shout out to the chat room, and I believe they've taken on, in honor of Mac World Expo, Mac names. So this ought to be fun. you gotta give props to our chat room for creativity, don't you?
I know.
We've got Archangel iPhone, Boomer, Country Mac Lover, Captain Jobs, Debdrup, Dr. Evil Steve Jobs, 8-Core Mac Pro, NDoc 10-4-101.
Say that three times fast.
Fake Steve Jobs Love, Lord Cat, Mad Marv PC. Ooh, boo. I don't have a little boo on the soundboard. I'll have to get one. Mark Mac Mini, Mike Mac Pro, Missing Mac. Oh, man, this is a tongue twister. Should practice these before we start podcasting.
Yeah.
Unique New York. Mr. Safari, OSX Wolf, Soul Blaze, Tim Leopard, VMC 1010.
Ah, Victor at the end. And how appropriate, because Macworld this week. Hey, he's going to have to call in and give us a little update. He's got to at least call in and say something.
Oh, he's going to be Twittering. He's going to be doing all kinds of little segments. I would keep an eye on the Typical Mac User podcast site all week, because he's going to be a busy boy.
I am geek. Cut me. Do I not bleed binary?
And we're joined by Mr. Sim in the chat room as a latecomer. I don't know if that's his tech term or not, but yeah, hey, you put Sims in
Mac. And we can't sit here and announce everybody as they come on. Maybe we should try that.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Announcing
just
Mr.
read the
Sim.
Chat room. This is the chat room transcript.
Be like the guy at the front door. Announcing Mr. Sim. Announcing Lord Cat.
Looking at the listener birthday calendar, we've got on the 17th, Fuffy Frog, a.k.a. Christina from Canada. And on the 21st, we've got Michael, a.k.a. Stingray 42. Happy birthday to both of you. If this happens to be your birthday week or somewhere in the vicinity of it, we wish you and everybody a happy birthday. And I hope you have a great one. Take a day off on us.
Yeah, we'll fill in for you. Just tell
we
your boss.
We approve it. Steer your vacation request our way. We'll approve it.
Hey, wait. I just wanted to say, if you do email us a request for time off, don't expect a response right away.
Allow 6 to 8 weeks for delivery.
Yeah. Okay, yes.
If you happen to be around on Sunday nights, oh, about 9:30 Eastern time, 6:30 Pacific, join us in the chat room or listen to us live on the audio stream. We are currently using Ustream and a homemade one. Do we have a link to that on the webcam page, to the QuickTime stream?
You know, we don't. As a matter of fact, I should embed the little player on there.
But if you jump into the chat room, there's a link there, and everybody will tell you, and usually Mark Shepard is rebroadcasting it anyway in case you have problems with QuickTime.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mark.
Shall we do the news?
Let's go to the news.
Bad news, nobody.
Actually, I don't think this is bad news. The news is, let the cooling begin at the LHC. The Large Hadron Collider is going to be going online soon. This is going to be so cool.
Is that the one you went to?
Not me. No, I went to Fermilab.
Fermilab,
smaller,
I'm sorry.
Similar. Yeah, particle smasher thing. And
eh, you know, you see one particle smash, you see them all.
What did Yorga send me a postcard from? He sent me one from CERN. I don't know if this is the LHC under construction or not. Maybe you can tell me. Not going to read the whole postcard right now.
That's all right.
Tens of thousands of tons of equipment must be cooled to near absolute zero before the LHC can detect its first exotic particle. The head of CERN's cryogenics group, Laurent Tavian, tells Hamish Johnston how this will be done. And we're not going to read the whole article, but we have a link to it in the show notes. They are looking for the... Oh, what's the name of the particle? Pull up Wikipedia real quick. Just look for a Large Hadron Collider. You'll find it.
Are you talking to me or the listener?
You, Craig.
Okay.
They're looking for this elusive particle, which will... it's kind of like the missing link in quantum physics that will flesh out the standard model and hopefully bring a unified theory of everything, you know, like 42, the answer to life, the universe, and everything.
Did you
find it yet?
You know, I'm looking at it and it says it's a particle accelerator and collider. I'm looking at it in CERN, Geneva,
it's
Switzerland.
It
doesn't say what particles is colliding, I guess.
I know where the answer is.
Oh, yeah?
It's in an intro I was writing this week.
Oh.
I can't.
I thought you were going to say, we were just talking about it over at work.
No. Well, yeah, this is a common coffee pot conversation and water cooler.
Yeah.
It's the elusive Higgs boson. That's what it is.
Oh, I see.
That's the missing particle.
I gotcha. Cool.
So... yeah, they got to cool this thing down. I'm getting really excited that this thing is going to go online. This is one of those things that could unlock.
Answer me a question. These particle accelerators or colliders, whatever.
Ooh. Yeah.
What's the point? Yeah.
Let me ask you, why did we go to the moon?
No. Let me back up.
What's the point of anything that doesn't have an...
Not necessarily what's the point. What are they trying to achieve? Maybe I should go back and listen to your...
What?
Audio, but you know, what is that? What are you trying to do?
They're by understanding or trying to get an understanding of these ways that the universe moves. You know, when Newton proposed his Newton's laws, you know, the inertia and for every action there's an opposite and equal reaction, mm-hmm. that opened up the doors to a lot of scientific discoveries. When Einstein and when the quantum theory came out, changed the way that people thought about a lot of stuff and led to discoveries that allowed us to do things like computers, the internet.
Sure. You know, no, I'm not debating why should we do it. I'm asking what are they trying to achieve by doing this?
You get your name in a book.
Oh, okay.
I found the Higgs boson. Woohoo!
You sounded pretty profound there for a little while, and then you said, put your name in a book. You know what? I'm going to get one of these guys on the phone. That's what I'm going to do.
We're going to have one of these guys on the phone.
Oh, yeah, that's right. In a couple months.
Yeah, we're going to be talking to Michio Kaku. You can ask him yourself. Why
that's
are we
the first
doing
question.
This?
Hey, well, what are we? You know, we were looking at these particle accelerators and colliders. Well, what's the point? And that's the beginning and end of the interview.
I'm going to buy one on the internet.
Yeah, just went on eBay.
Fermilab is selling their old one.
No, seriously.
They want to upgrade.
You know, and if you got some insight on it, please let me know. Because I want to know. I'm not saying we shouldn't do it. Or it's not, you know, I'm not saying like that. I think we should go for it. I just want to know what are they trying to achieve? Okay, yeah, we're going to the moon. I know we're going to the moon. That's the point. I'm just asking, what? What does the particle accelerator do?
Moving along, we've got email from Ron. Ron and Yorga seem to have fleshed out this week's show quite nicely. His first link is the Lassie experiment, and this is from Nidorama, which is kind of a funny name for Technorama. Hey, I'm suing.
Release the lawyers.
What?
Newsorama. Or Nidorama.
Oh, no, this is Nidorama.
Release the lawyers. Yeah.
The Lassie experiment. Will Fido save you in an emergency or just let you die? This article is pretty funny because it goes on to do these various tests of a guy who's faking a heart attack and various dogs, what their reaction was. Most of them just kind of wandered around. One poodle.
Sniff it.
One poodle ran off, directly made contact with a stranger. It ran over and jumped up on the person's lap, not because it was trying to signal that its owner was in distress, but because it wanted to be petted. It probably figured, uh-oh, my owner's dead. I need someone to adopt me.
I gotta move quick.
The second experiment was trapped under a bookcase where they would make this bookcase fall on somebody. And again, the dogs really didn't do too much to save the owner. Finally,
you can't really stage an emergency, really.
You know, the classic example of Lassie go get help is Timmy fell down a well.
I mean,
in the entire series of Lassie TV show, Timmy never fell down a well.
Yeah, well, you know, it's just the class. Somebody made a funny and it just went on. Classic internet.
Oh, it's an urban myth.
Yeah. There was no Timmy and there was no whale. No, there was a Timmy. No, but can you really fake an emergency? I mean, I don't care.
I was wondering the same thing. You know, they say dogs are very perceptive. Maybe they really know when you're having a real heart attack you're trying to fake one.
That was the underlying outcome of this whole experiment was they could tell it was just a stupid experiment and not that you were in danger, but they just
he's
faking it. I mean, you know. Come on, get George Clooney out there, and I still think that they're going to be able to tell a fake.
I'm Batman.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with the Hacks and Strange Stories in just a moment.
Okie dokie.
Dean the Comedian.
Dean the Comedian, yeah. I guess I can't really do that much computer hacking. Got me somebody short and weaselly.
Talk about the X-Files.
Oh, well, it's scary. It's still scary. Scared. If you can imagine that.
That's way too out there.
That's what all your staff thinks of you.
I am not kidding.
Invented a laptop cooling system called the Chill Pack.
Why didn't I think of that?
Chill Coolie, Chili Pack, Chill Coolie, Hottie Pack. How many variations?
It's tech, you know. I'm drooling.
Tech. Exactly. I laugh at your age too. The power of my age 4 will crush your age 2.
Well, see, I'm not compensating for anything.
This interview's over. There's now silence.
This is Ronald D. Moore from Battlestar Galactica, and you're listening to Technorama.
Hacks and Strange Stories!
Well, at least he's over the opera.
Yeah.
If you missed last week, Lenny's in rare form. You can go now, Lenny.
Okie doke!
Yeah, get out of here.
Runtime sends us a letter, says, how long does it take to get from here to there? Apparently somebody went to maps.google.com and said, start address here, end address there. And yes, in France, do. There is a here and there. Obviously, they have some accent marks. But it will take you.
Take 7 hours and 51 minutes to get there and here.
It's not exactly a straight route, is it?
No. Here, let me drag.
Do they go by any notable landmarks? Well, I can't tell. I'm not a France connoisseur. But, you know, the things people type into Google. How about from here to eternity? Ooh.
Here, I'm going to put eternity right here.
Go for it. I'll carry on with the next story. Ron sends us another link called Help Keep the Shell People Alive. This is an honest-to-goodness link publication on Craigslist.
My list?
From November 21st. There's a sad truth in the world today. I am part of a dying breed of people known as shell users. We are an old-fashioned bunch preferring the warm glow of a green screen green screen full of text over the cold blockiness of a graphical interface. We use SSH, SCP, and even occasionally FTP. Congratulations to you if you know what all those mean. Back in the days before high-speed connections, broadband, We would dial up during off hours to avoid being slammed with huge phone bills. The whole Microsoft Windows fad will fade away sooner or later, but in the interim, our kind is facing extinction. He goes on to say, so, if you're a woman between the ages of 23 and 43 who is ready to raise a child in the way of Shell, like it's a religion or something, let me know so we can begin the process.
Yeah.
If you are ready to raise more than one child, even better. P.S. Yes, this is for real. Given the right person, I would obviously propose before we call fork. PPS, I only set Emacs mode for my KSH session. I only edit files using VI. Just wanted to clear that up. And I'm looking to raise the children as a dedicated couple. So if you aren't interested in being married, you may wish to select, parenthesis, a different post. Oh my, maybe her name will be Sue and his name will be Biff. Name your kid Biff.
Biff. Hey, Bash, get in here.
Bash.
I have children, two children, Bash and Auk.
What did he said? We'll stop there because they do go on. I have a file at work that has all kinds of bad stuff like that in it, and I will leave it there. In a file called Never Throw This Stuff Away.
Hey, Grip, will you filter this?
Grip.
Okay. Okay, I was done.
Give it to your sister, E-Grip.
That was the 90s, era command.
Now it's iGrep. Yeah. Yorga sends us a link that says half of this 26-year-old's memories is filled with video games. Apparently, this guy went under an MRI. Nearly 50% of 26-year-old paralegal Philip Jenkins' encoded long-term memories involve button combinations, game-playing experiences, and spatial cognitive maps of various levels and worlds from Nintendo's line of video game consoles. A team of neurosciences report Tuesday. This is just bad. I mean, I can't imagine. How does this guy get dressed?
Bleep, 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 bleep.
On Friday, we showed Mr. Jenkins a series of images meant to elicit memories of times of great pain and confusion in his life, Holbrook said. This is one of the doctors that was doing the test. The first two events that came to the fore of his psyche were an incident in late 2000 when the screen froze and he was just about to set a new best lap record in Wave Race 64 and his great-grandmother's funeral. Well, at least family's in there somewhere! Unsurprisingly, Mr. Jenkins' self-perception draws from the most important moments in his life and is framed largely by the time he hit a game-winning Grand Slam with Saul in NES's Little League Baseball to help the New York team win the tournament, Dr. Gary Nordstrom said. It is not uncommon for men his age to measure themselves by their greatest athletic achievements, and this is without a doubt, Mr. Jenkins. Oh my goodness, oh my goodness. Don't let this happen to you.
Don't let your kids grow up to be like this.
Go out, meet real people.
Yeah.
I'm having serious buyer's remorse about the Wii now. And Yorga sends us another link. It's called Secrets in Websites. Now this is good. We'll have a good link in the show notes if you want to read all of them. But apparently if you open up and do a view source like in Firefox or IE, you can see all the HTML that really renders the page.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to Yahoo News, now these may not currently be true because the web content changes and programs change, but there's a comment somewhere in there that says, this page brought to you by the letter W. Obviously an homage to Sesame Street's sponsor. Dig has one that says, Dig is up 959595. We don't know what that means, but 9 to 5 could be 3 days worth of work. Apple.
They got banker's hours for the website.
Yeah, 3 days a week. Yeah. Apple still to this day serves up a copyright message that says somewhere in there with a paragraph tag, class equals Susumi. You know, the sound that System 7 used to make, that boom. That's a System 7 sound. It's actually a joke because Apple Corp versus Apple Computer, the case where, the Apple Records was suing them,
mm-hmm.
It's pronounced So-Sue-Me. A nice little tribute to the Apple history and poking fun at lawyers.
Oh, yeah.
Amazon had a comment tag in that says, meow.
What?
Yeah. Slashdot had a couple of homages to Futurama. It said x-Leela in the HTTP header that says, he opened up relations with China. He doesn't want to hear about your ding dong, which is a reference to Leela. And then it says x-Bender. Try this, kids at home. There's a ton of them, and we also have more, but we're running out of time. You can check out the show notes. There are secrets in websites and secrets in websites, too, under the Hacks and Strange Stories. Tell us what you found, Steampunk Master One.
Oh, Steampunk Master. You know what? And it's, Bruce is like this, too. I cannot resist checking out the steampunk stuff. Now, these are two I found over at Gizmodo. Here is an article where they're talking about the gentleman, and they got a link to his workshop where he made his own action figures, and they're the Justice League in steampunk form. I had never read this, but there was a Justice League by Gaslight or something like that, or Gotham by Gaslight comic book series, and they had characters like this, and he kind of made these in that same feel. And you can see Superman's got the little, I want to say Confederate looking shirt, but you know, the Civil War era shirt with a big flap on the front, the big S on it.
Yeah.
Wonder Woman's got her hair all pulled up. It's pretty cool. I thought Green Lantern looked like something out of, Wild Wild West or something. This is cool stuff. The Flash was awesome.
I can't resist.
If you didn't put it in, I was going to do it later.
There you go.
But anyway, go check it out. They've got a great photo gallery over there, and you can go to his site and see more pictures with a group and all that. Like I said, the Flash looked really cool. It was like, you look at him, and he looks like a pilot with red all over and goggles, and it just doesn't look like he can run very efficiently in the boots, but...
What else you got?
But they're cool. Anyway. And there, if you go down in the show notes here, we got a steampunk TIE fighter.
What? That's almost like counterintuitive or oxymoron. Well,
you have to go look at it. You have the TIE fighter with the same shape. The wings are open so that you get all the spokes. And behind it, you see a pipe coming out the back with the steam coming out. And they got the bad guy looking guy sitting there, with a wrench. It's pretty cool.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And actually below that, there's some steampunk Star Wars stuff with, they got an X-Wing and everything below that. But if you go just a little bit further, there's some art, some steampunk Star Wars art, which is really cool. I'd never seen this before. Maybe I just missed it. I don't know. But there's they got like TIE fighters with wings on them, like, bi-wing planes, tri-wing planes, all kinds of stuff. It's pretty cool.
Now, your next article, we've got
some great art.
Didn't we cover this one already? The liquid that changes?
I don't know. Did we?
You tell me.
I'm going to go look at the video. I'm not sure what liquid they're putting in here, but they pour it in. They pour this other liquid in. It goes from clear to yellow, and then all of a sudden it makes the reaction, goes to blue.
Uh-huh.
It goes back to clear, back to yellow, does it again several times. Let's see, it's hydroproduct. It's like it's...
It didn't say exactly what the chemical was.
Uh-uh. But it's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
Anyway, go check it out.
I wonder what you can do with that. We'll ponder that while we take a break.
I don't know. Just like, can you collide that? And I don't know.
There are so many podcasts out there. Some are good and some are...
Disgusting.
Oh, they're not that bad.
Oh, no.
Take the one called Dancing with Elephants, for example. It's family safe.
I told you.
Join Greg, Tanya, Nikolai, and Caleb.
Wow.
Find them at dancingwithelephants.com and join the fun.
Okay, we'll see you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Warning. Imperial Command has detected unauthorized or incorrect facts in the podcast called Technorama. If you detect information that needs correction or you want to have your say, call them on the listener line at 206-222-2428. Here's a nickel. Call someone who gives a shit.
Thank you.
this place. It's got variety.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
So I'm flipping channels last night. Well, Julie is slowly falling asleep while watching a thing on the last days of the Maya that we TiVo'd last week. And I went, flip, flip, flip. Hey, it's Hitchhiker's Guide from the Galaxy, the 2005 version.
Oh, the movie.
Mm-hmm. And I went, that girl. The girl who plays Trillian. You know who that is?
Zoe Deschanel.
Yes, I knew she looked familiar. Yes. When we saw her in Tin Man, I'm going, where have I seen her before? Where have I seen her before?
Oh, I thought I said that in the show, did I not?
Maybe. Go back and listen. I did.
She's incredibly cute.
She's hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was my epiphany. If you've got any more of those, you know, this is to the listener out there. If you've got one of those things where you're flipping channels, you go, oh, and you finally, you know, make a connection.
Right.
And you go to, I have to go to IMDb or TV.com to verify any of this. But let us know and go, hey, you know, who's, because this used to happen all the time on like Star Trek where they'd reuse a character, but they'd change him from a Romulan to a Klingon and then to somebody else. You go, right. Oh, come on. This guy's been on like 8 other shows. You'll see that a lot in Star Trek.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, hey, I did not realize this until, you know, after The Next Generation had its run that one of my friends was like, you know, I'm really into, let me back up. We were talking about, he was into science fiction, I mean the books rather.
Yeah.
And he was talking about how all these concepts were taken from that for a lot of stories in Star Trek. You know, what started the conversation, I think it was, we were talking about the Dyson Sphere, you know, where Scotty would crash land on the outside of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was like, really? I didn't really realize that. And just me being dumb or out there, I didn't really realize that, you know, a lot of those concepts were taken from older, you know, works of fiction.
They're for real. Fiction, rather. All right, we have a link from Tom P.
Yeah.
It's a video on life on board the ISS. I can't remember what song it was put to, but they show you how they sleep and how they eat and how they goof around. Some of these clips you may have seen before. I know they look a little familiar to me, but it was put together in a nice montage, and he's willing to host that for the Technorama listeners over at tompose.com, and you can find a link through the show notes. It is a Windows Media video, WMV file, so have fun with that. Good stuff. I enjoyed it. It's about 2-3 minutes long. A lot of fun to watch. East Bay Ant sends us a link to The Physics of Super Mario Galaxy.
Oh, no.
Now think about this. Have you ever played this game?
The newer one? No, I have not.
If you haven't played it, he's out in space. You know, Mario can go anywhere. He's better than Rocky and has more video games. I'll read the article real quick so you get an idea of what's going on. For the last week, I've been playing this game called Super Mario Galaxy, and if it isn't the best game ever made, then it's in the top three.
Wow.
It has a fan service by the buckets and a soundtrack that soars as if the game itself is just happy it is being played. It's an interesting line. And little blue tractor beam stars that sing you sad little theremin songs and evil hats. Well, now you got to sense of what universe you're in. Things happen for no reason, but so instead of typing, I'm going to instead write about the physics problem the game poses. The gimmick in Super Mario Galaxy is where previous Mario games had you jumping between platforms floating in the air in the Mushroom Kingdom, the new one has you jumping between little bitty planetoids floating out in space. It works like this, and they show that there's a link to the YouTube video. You get the idea pretty quickly. He's jumping between these things. All right, I'll summarize real quickly. These planetoids are too small to have any significant gravity. All right? They're only, maybe, you know, if you take Mario and say he's 4 feet high, these planetoids are maybe 20 feet in diameter.
Oh, really?
Not enough to have a whole lot of gravity. Well. Okay. And not only do you stick to them and run around, you can jump off of them and jump to another one.
Okay. Sweet.
Not really within the realm of reality. But hey, nobody said video games had to be just like cartoons.
I want to do that.
Right?
Yeah, I want to do that. Do you have that game?
I don't have that one. The girls have been playing Mario Paper World or Paper Mario or something on the Wii.
That's kind of cool.
They've been having a lot of fun with that one.
Do you like it? Have you messed with it?
I haven't messed with it.
Dude.
It's a long game. I don't have time to invest in long games.
Have y'all played games on it? Have y'all been bowling and stuff?
I've been bowling. I've been boxing. I've been playing tennis. I like a game where I can just walk up, hit three rounds, three holes of golf, and walk away.
Yeah. Hey, well, let me ask
you. That's my kind of game.
I mentioned about the boxing being a workout. So was it for you?
Not too bad.
I mean, it gets your heart going, doesn't it?
Not too bad.
I mean, you're sitting there swinging your arms. I mean.
I played three or four rounds. The guy was getting better and better and better as my skill level went up. So did his. I like how they figured it. How do they figure this out? Right. I've got 75 points. Like after my first round, I mean, the first guy is a glass jaw. You can knock him down by blowing on him.
Sure.
The second guy is a little tougher, but I've got 75 experience points or whatever they measure this in. And they put me against somebody who's got 175.
Yep.
Okay. So I knock him out. I'm not sure how. And then I get a 125, and they put me against a 225. I'm always against some other opponent that's a little bit better than me.
Yeah,
but I can still knock them down.
Well, but it's a little harder. And I'm in the pro status, and let me tell you, it's still hard. You know, once you get to that point, it's like, golly, you got to really work because they're able to get up quicker or more able to get up. Period. You know, and they throw better punches. But that's what gets you the workout. You start swinging your arms around, you know, trying to go, you know, and after a while you get your heart going. So I was playing 30 minutes or so, and I thought it was a good cardio workout there.
It is. I got a little bit of sore in the shoulders, but I noticed a lot of things that I was doing at karate for.
You got the Wii shoulder. That's what it was.
Yeah. All right, we got to take a quick break.
Wait a minute. I got to say, my shoulder, when I first got the Wii, hurt for like a few days until I started getting used to playing the games.
It's like any other exercise. You got to get those muscles in shape.
Yep.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with the Geek Library. Before that, though, right before we get back with the Geek Library, Craig's got a new segment called A Moment in Space. He's going to talk about all the upcoming stuff in space.
Yeah.
The final frontier.
It's kind of like on this day in tech history for space.
For Craig. Let him produce something.
Yeah, I'm space between my ears.
Netscapades on ice. Come see Matthew Willington perform the interpretive dance set to ice of the .com boom and burst on ice. See Microsoft, Amazon, and Netscape battle it out for their piece of the pie. Netscapades on ice. Watch CEOs vying for a new part of this new frontier. Netscapades. Coming to the Hallmark Union Square, November 13th. It's an experience you'll never forget. On ice.
And hold back to Technorama! Technorama!
And this is my moment in space. January 16th, Comet C2007-T6, Catalina. It's the closest approach to the Earth. January 16th, Comet Mueller 5, closest approach to the Earth. Also, January 16th, a lecture, Forging the Future of Space Science, the Next 50 Years, happens in Tallahassee, Florida. January 16th through the 17th, Third Grid and E-Collaboration Workshop for the Earth Science Community, Essen Frascati, Italy. Pardon my Italian. January 16th through the 18th is a conference, Surveys and Simulations of Large-Scale Structure, as in Berkeley, California. Also, January 16th through the 18th, the second International Conference of the State of Remote Sensing Law. It's in Oxford, Mississippi. January 19th, asteroid 10792, Ecuador's closest approach to the Earth. January 19th, NASA's Glenn Visitor Center event, Inner Space, in Cleveland, Ohio. January 19th through the 24th, SPI Photonics West Conference, that's in San Jose, California. January 20th, the Theos DNEPR, not sure how to pronounce that, one, launch. Asteroid 5231 Vern is close to the approach to the Earth. January 20th, asteroid 4255 Space Watch, closest approach to the Earth. January 20th through the 25th, Gordon Research Conference, The Origin of Life in Ventura, California. January 21st, asteroid 7336 Saunders, closest approach to the Earth. January 21st to the 23rd, a workshop, Astronomy in Europe, an evolving collaboration that's in Linden, Netherlands. And there you have it. That's A Moment in Space.
That was very nice, Craig.
Yeah, well, you know, my whole point was I didn't want to wait until these things were news to go, oh, yeah, well, there I should be looking out for a comet or something. So I found a calendar over at JPL, and that has not only I realized they had conferences, too. So, you know, I figured somebody might want to attend or maybe find out something they didn't know about. So being a little more proactive and finding out about about space stuff.
Props to NCAF1 in the chat room. He said, Asteroid 542 version 2.1 will be released. Cracked me up while you're going through that.
Yeah.
The virtues of listening live.
Awesome.
All right. In the Geek Library, what have you found? I think you contributed most of this. Well, the first one anyway.
Yeah. Pimped out sci-fi rides. This is an article over IO9, which has been a popular sci-fi blog as we've been pointing out here lately. And here's some sci-fi themed, I started to say steampunk, but they're not. They're sci-fi themed cars, such as one car is made to look like an A-Wing from Star Wars. One of them here's got this one, I think.
Dean Shorey built this car based on the Vipers from Battlestar Galactica by hand. It looks like the old Battlestar, not the new, although there isn't much difference between the two. Well,
it looks like a Viper, realistic.
And then take that sucker through the car wash.
Yeah, and then below that is a Rebel Alliance looking car, and he actually there's a whole gallery for that one, and it has R2-D2 stuck in the back. It's like a what is it, a little Mazda? No, is it a Honda CR? What is that? A Honda
Toyota Tercel? The lady standing next to it's got like blast fire all over. It's dirty and stuff.
Yeah, it looks good. I mean, you know, I don't know. My wife wouldn't drive ride in it, but
that's good.
Hey, the inside looks cool too. They kind of they cut the top so it has like a semicircle effect, and it's pretty cool.
All right, Ron sends us another link over at Needorama again for a clock for math whizzes. Apparently, this is part of the 999 Society, which is a high IQ organization, and this thing is made it's a standard 12 position clock. With two hands, but every number is represented by a series of three nines. For example, 5 o'clock is the square root of 9, which is 3, mm-hmm. factorial, which is 3 times 2 times 1, or 6, minus 9 divided by 9. So there's your 9 square root factorial minus, and it's really bizarre. So 6 minus 1 is 5. You look at this and it's like, okay, there's 3 nines, there's 3 nines, there's 3 nines. Very difficult to figure out at first, but of course, if you're good at reading analog clocks, we've already had that debate, analog versus digital, you can figure it out pretty quickly. He also sends us a link that I want to challenge the listeners to take. This is the sci-fi audio quiz, and we have a page in the wiki for this. Listen to the sounds and take the quiz. It's a multiple choice thing. They'll play you either a movie clip or sound of a phaser blast or something. And you have
to decide. That first one was easy for me.
No, don't be telling. Yeah, some of them are pretty easy, and some of them may be a little more challenging. And then post your results in the wiki, and I've got mine up there. See if you can do better. I'm not sure exactly on a couple of them are really obscure. They play this sound I've never heard before, or a clip from a movie, and they list 4 things that I've never seen before. So
what, that could be very easy to do because there's some, you know, sci-fi, especially sci-fi movies, you got so many different sounds and stuff.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. But yeah.
Oh yeah.
Challenge them. See what you get. We also have final thing in the show, rounding us out at the end. We got the top 10 sites, and our geek library wouldn't be complete without some sort of top something listing. Top 10 sites list. To debunk
tonight's
urban
top something
legends.
List.
Come on, I'm trying to work here. Number 1, Snopes. Number 2, About Urban Legends. Number 3, Break the Chain. Number 4, Hoaxbusters. Number 5, Sophos. Number 6, F-Secure. Number 7, V-Myths. Number 8, Symantec. You know, you get a lot of those virus hoaxes.
Oh, yeah, I get. I never thought about that. You know,
number 9, Trend Micro. And number 10, Virus Busters.
Hmm.
So, if you hear about any of these, you can go there. I was thinking more Mythbuster stuff, like urban legends. But, you know, a lot of urban legends these days are around virus attacks and worms and
Trojan. And, you know, lots of times if somebody sends me an email or they kind of quit because I don't pass them off, you know, like, it's in, send this to five people and
I never
the
do.
People and we'll live. You know, I'm like, whatever. And, of course,
and somebody won't die.
Yeah. Or, you know, what's funny is you just highlight a little section of that, put it in Google search, you know, or Snopes. Go to Snopes, yep. And that's what I'm saying. And it'll come right up in Snopes, you know, but hey, or look, it's not real, you know, or whatever it is. And, you know, and people just send this stuff over all the time without thinking. And I'm like,
yep,
put it in Snopes, you know, or something.
Don't forget, we've got one of us two has a birthday coming up at the end of January.
One of us two.
And it's not me. So,
gee.
Do me a favor, call the Skype listener line, put the buddy name Chuck Chad in there if you want to do it that way, or call the Craig birthday line at 206-279-4751. If you want a mnemonic, it's 206-2-swirl-1 or cry HP51, if that helps. I thought the second one was funny.
It's funny, but it makes no sense. What are you putting together, a surprise birthday party here? Technorama.
Listeners, podcasters, we implore you, or you can always send me an MP3 file or audio file of your favorite choice, and I'll figure it out. And we'll get that to Craig on the probably 2 weeks from now, I think, right?
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be a whopping 39.
We appreciate your support, all that you do for us, and all that you will do for us. You will help us out.
Is that your Jedi powers kicking through there?
If you like the show, there are many ways to show your appreciation. You can call the regular listener feedback line at 206-222-2428 or email us at technorama@chuckchat.com. The website has always been and always will be chuckchat.com for this and many other shows. You can also show your love financially with the tip jar icons on the...
Pay attention to the intro of the show and you'll see how well it's working out for us.
Or review in the iTunes Music Store, Podcast Pickle, Podcast Alley, or one of the many other podcast directories. Love to thank the following people for their donating their time and talent to help keeping Technorama alive and going and all the great things that happen there. Mad Marv for his content that he puts in the blog every week. Lots of stories there if you're not going to the blog regularly or subscribing to the full feed with your news aggregator. Why not?
Yeah,
why not? It's the right thing to do. Scott Reynolds and Ustream, who keep our modest live streams going on Sunday nights. If you happen to be around, join us. We'd love to hear from you. See you in the chat room, irc.freenode.net. Channel name is Pound Technorama. This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. You can find out more at friendsintech.com. We're also affiliated with Farpoint Media and a host, a bevy, a pod, a pride, a murder of other great shows there.
What? What is a group of podcasts?
We'll figure out a term. Till next time, tell a friend about Technorama and give me a binary high five.
101 and good insert your time of day here.